So a Van Kampen theorem is an assertion that for some diagram of spaces, like this, Van Kampen theorem asserts that we get a push out of groupoids, fundamental groupoids. But if we allow ourselves to work with only with nice spaces, where we have our spaces Y all have the property that they're coverings of Y, as the category of pre-sheaves on Y, we can reformulate this. Replacing our groupoids by categories of coverings. And because here this is contravariant, we now get a pullback of categories. So for today, you should think of a Van Kampen theorem as being an assertion that for some diagram of spaces like this, we have a pullback in this form. So an abstract setting for such a theorem would involve, first of all, a category K of spaces and a pseudo functor, a contravariant pseudo functor, specifying for each space the category of covering to that space. And then the theorem should assert that we have some pullback like this. This is what the Van Kampen theorem should assert. So there have been theorems developed in this level of generality by Brown and Janelitza. Category of spaces they take to mean extensive category. Just as Bill argued on Monday, extensive category is a good notion of category of spaces. This is what they do. So K is an extensive category. Max actually worked with a special sort of pseudo functor from Carpenter and Cat. They looked at the situation where a category of coverings is some suitable full subcategory of the slice category. I don't want to do that today. We'll just look at the slightly more general case where we have a pseudo functor there. But we do want C to preserve finite products, which says that C of X plus Y is C of X C of Y. And here when I say equals, of course I really mean equivalent. So extensive, by the way, is a condition that looks just like this. It says that K over X plus Y is equivalent to K over X cross K over Y. So we're going to work in this general sort of setting. And we'll start with a pullback square with a pullback like that. We're trying to prove once again that we have pullback looking like this. This is supposed to be a pullback, and as in the previous talk, despite my Australian background, I'd be rather cavalier about these things, and if I ever say anything like pullback, you should understand it in the bicategorical sense. So, well, I'm saying it's a pullback, that's right. It has a strong tendency to be a push-out in the case of interest as well, but I'm actually assuming that it's a pullback. So I'm not saying, if I get a pullback here, I'm not saying that C preserves pullbacks or push-outs or anything else, right? Because this pseudo-function is contravariant. Okay, so to get a pullback here, we'd want to know that if there's some x1 and C of x1 and some x2 and C of x2, that go together here to give isomorphic things, by which of course I mean I'm given a particular isomorphism, then we can come back to something here. Because of this equivalence here, we get x1, x2 in C of x1 plus x2. I've now got the map from x1 plus x2 into x. So that induces a map from C of x into C of x1 plus x2. I'm trying to find something in here. So that's where the descent comes in. So we've got a map from x1 plus x2. We've got an object here. We're trying to lift it down the boards to something there. So descent in this context, I give myself a map alpha from y to x. And so we have the induced thing back the other way, and I'm trying to look at when structure here lifts structure there. So what you can do is form a diagram like this. We get a curl. If I was working with honest pullbacks here, this would just be the equivalence relation in this diagram. I'm getting ahead of myself. These are honest pullbacks just for the moment. So this is the kernel of this diagram. Applying C, everything goes the other way. If I look at this diagram here in cat, I can form a kind of it's like the equalizer of these two arrows. It's actually something called a certain weighted limit called the descent object, and this gives us the descent data here. This is just the usual vibrational notion of descent. So an object of this consists of an object of this, and an isomorphism between its image under that map. An image under that map, and it has to satisfy certain conditions. Compatibility with the map going back that way is called normalization. Compatibility with these three is a co-cycle condition. We'll get a canonical thing here, K alpha, and we say that alpha is effective for C descent. If K alpha is an equivalence. Okay, just using this idea of descent, applying it directly to this situation here, we see that if in our original pullback we have monomorphisms, the Brown general Lizard theorem now says our diagram on the left there satisfies the Van Kampen theorem if and only if the map from x1 plus x2 to x is effective for C descent. Straightforward exercise using extensivity and a definition. Okay, so there's some nice examples. You can apply this to topological spaces and recover the ordinary Van Kampen theorems. You can apply it to the opposite of commutative rings. But I'd like to apply it to topices. The problem is the topices form a two-category rather than a category, and we don't have extensivity in the usual sense. We've got to push everything up to the two-dimensional level. What we have to do is make everything bicategorical. So what's everything? Well, our category is going to become a two-category. Extensive will now take on a new meaning appropriate for the two-dimensional context. These haven't, I believe, been studied before, but you can develop the theory of them, and it works very nicely and very much like the ordinary theory of extensive categories. Okay, we've got some co-products here. They're going to turn into co-products in the bicategorical context. We've got some slice categories here. They'll turn into slice objects in the bicategorical context. The objects will still be objects over X. The morphisms will be triangles commuting up to a specified isomorphism. At pullbacks, they're going to become bicategorical. And I think the only remaining thing is the notion the monomorphism is going to become bicategorical. Well, if we make all those changes, the Brown general Lizard theorem goes through perfectly well also. As I said, we're being cavalier today. I'd normally like to tell you all about how this works, but I won't. Right, so let's talk a bit about topices. When I say topices, I'm going to be considering the two-category top S of topices bounded over a fixed elementary topos. S, so if you want to take S to be sets, then you get great and big topices, and that's obviously a good thing to do, but you don't have to. So this two category is extensive. I don't want to prove that in complete detail, but the idea is this. If I have a geometric morphism F from F into E1 plus E2, morphism into a coproduct should split the domain up into a coproduct as well. How does that go? Well, the co-product of topices is their product is categories, and we've got the inverse image here, phi star of the geometric morphism, and I now have F equal to F over 1 equal to F over phi star 1, 1. You notice I'm continuing to be cavalier and using equals here wherever I feel like it. This is F over 5*10 plus 5*01. Here I've got a topos F, which isn't particularly extensive, over a co-product, so I can break that up as F over 5*10 cross F over 5*01. And that's the decomposition of F as a co-product of toposes. Well, that's a tiny part of what you have to check, but everything else goes through quite nicely. Right, so we have our extensive two category. The next thing we'd need to apply the theorem is a pseudo functor on top. So there's two possibilities I want to mention. The first we like to call A. I'm sorry, I should have mentioned my co-author at the beginning. Everybody knows that. Which we like to call, Martin and I like to call A. It's the pseudo functor that sends a topos E to E, thought of as a category, and sends a geometric morphism to its inverse image. It certainly preserves finite products because, in fact, it's representable. So concretely, that means in particular that co-limits of toposes are formed as limits of the underlying categories, just as we saw in that special case. So we can apply the theorem, but it won't be much use unless we know what the effective descent morphisms are, and these have been studied by Shail and Tierney, who showed that open subjections are effective for A descent. If you interpret what the theorem actually says, then for this special case, it says that if I have a pullback. Pullback of toposes where these are pseudo monics, well, in particular where these are inclusions, every inclusion is a pseudo monic, it's a monic in the suitable sense in toposes. If we have a pullback like this where the map from E1 plus E2 to E is an open surjection, then when we pass to cat, so we're looking at all the inverse images, we have a pullback, that's what the statement will say, so therefore this original diagram in top is actually a push-out, then also a push-out. So that's the first, that's our first theorem. The second example call C for coverings. This sends a topos E to the full subcategory of E consisting of the locally constant objects. So hereby locally constant. So this is locally constant. If I have some object U of global support, this is an E, and some map, S to I like this, downstairs in the base topos, and a pullback. And a pullback looking like that. So if you unravel it, really says that that locally A is constant. Right, so in this case, we have a pseudo functor. We should check that it preserves products. So that says that C preserving products Beg your pardon? I haven't said everything. Yeah, you've got to give this as well. Yeah. Is that what you mean? No, I didn't say it. You're right. But I mean, it's true that if there's a pullback square like this, then A is likely constant. We don't actually care what the morphism is. Okay, so to say that C preserves products says that the locally constant objects of E plus F are just the pairs of locally constant objects, and this is true. It's something you can check. What are the effective descent morphisms? Well, again, I don't know what they are, but among them, these include the locally connected subjections. So locally connected subjections are, in particular, open subjections. So there's certainly effective descent morphisms up in this A context. And in fact, it's much easier to prove that they're effective descent morphisms there than it is to prove the Shor-Al-Tani theorem. To prove that they're effective descent morphisms here, the key fact that you need is that if phi is such a thing, locally connected surjection, and A is an object of E, such that the inverse image of A is locally connected, then A is itself locally connected. And that again is not too hard to prove. So we're in business now, we can apply the theorem. The theorem says, once again, if I have a pullback square as above, but now this time with the map E1 plus E2 into E, a locally connected subjection, then I get a pullback square like that. So, several comments to finish up. First of all, it turns out that in some sense these two steps here contain really the heart of this theorem. And if you start originally with a push-out, rather than a pullback, then you can drop the assumption that these arrows here are inclusions, and you still get the same conclusion there. That's comment one. Comment two. So if E is itself locally connected in the sense of Marta's talk, then the notion of locally constant is equivalent to the notion of covering for the adjunction here, in the sense of generalizer. Three, if moreover, E is locally simply connected, which means in this definition of locally constant object, there's a single object U I can use to get all my locally constants, then ELC is a topos, and it makes good sense to call it the fundamental groupoid topos of E. And so we now get a push-out of fundamental groupoid toposes. Finally, the last comment is in this situation, in the context of 3, we actually have the fundamental groupoid topos as the topos of internal presheaves for a certain groupoid. It's a groupoid in S, which in general is determined only up to Merit equivalence, the way I've set it up here. But at least if S is set, then you actually will get a push out of these fundamental groupoids. In a more general situation, you have to be a little bit careful, but there are still good things you can say.